morning. It is a Friday here in Coyote. Oh, no.
You did it.
I did it. Well, if you want to listen to our sister station, Coyote Country, I'll be on there in a little bit. Until then, we're going to hang out on WTAD AM 930 and FM 1033, filling in for Mary just for today. She'll be back on Monday. And we have obviously had a lot of events cancel in the tri-states or postpone due to the current situations, and the Friends of Unit 4 is no exception. So that being said, with us is Paul Beeler. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
We're good. We are a little sad, of course, that we do have to announce that the Friends of Unit 4 Fall Festival is postponed, but we already have a date for next year.
Yep.
But instead, you guys are holding a golf outing. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so with all the current situation and everything going on, the board decided it would be best to cancel our event this year. And really, technically it's canceled, but it's more altered. The same day that we were supposed to have our fall festival, September 12th, we're going to do a golf outing at Arrowhead Heights over in Camp Point. We realized that, you know, the fall festival is large crowds, serving line of food, adult beverages where people gather in large crowds. And, you know, we estimate the last couple of years we've had over 1,000 people there throughout the day. And obviously that's well over what is considered safe. So after much deliberation and, you know, there's a lot of board members that wanted to have it, myself included. But, you know, after everything that went down, after the increase in numbers, after a lot of discussion, we decided to cancel that. But instead, we're going to do, like you said, a golf outing. Allows for much more distancing. We can control the crowd a lot better. Obviously, we know who's coming. We can prep them as they come in. So, Arrowhead Heights has been good to the Unit 4 School District. There's another organization that has a golf outing out there every year. Our golf team actually plays over there. So we're more than happy to take our business over there and support him because he does a good job supporting us.
And you guys can register your team of four right now. Visit WTAD AM 930 on Facebook. I will post up a link there as well. You can also send the Friends of Unit 4 a Facebook message if you're Facebook savvy. Or feel free to give Paul a call or send him an email. $300 for a team, so great cost and going towards a great cause.
Yeah, so obviously we're hoping that school gets to continue, and the funding shortage has not improved. You know, we're still hoping that we can support students in any way we can. We know that there's going to be new grant requests coming in. I've already spoken with several teachers that want to get things submitted once they get into our school building. We have a new school building that's going to be open this year. I was on last year talking about what to expect with that. A lot of the teachers are excited to get into their classrooms. Obviously, you know, the school district is going to provide what they have to have, the chairs, the smart boards, that kind of things. But it's always nice to have that extra stuff to really enhance the students' learning experience. So we'll be happy to provide that support with funds raised at our golf outing this year.
And that's something, too, that's really neat, is that it's stuff that we might not think of that teachers need that cannot be provided by state funding.
Right. You know, state funding is there to provide the basic needs of the student. And they do, for the most part. Obviously, there's payment shortages and there's delays and there's stuff like that. But essentially, you know, the extra things that really help students learn, the upgrade of the smart board, the relaxed learning environment, the alternate seating for the little kids, the visual things that get hung up on the walls. Mm-hmm. We buy iPads for some of the special education kids because it helps them learn more with visual and audio than just a teacher pointing at a book. It's a lot of response devices that we give to those kids. Well, we give to the teachers, but yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that state funding just doesn't cover. And it's not just the elementary school. We support the arts a lot up in the high school. The Unit 4 Foundation does a lot of that as well. But as everybody knows, funding doesn't go everywhere. So even when they fall a little short, the Friends of Unit 4 can step in and do that. A lot of the physical education things. Lori Eager, we've got a phenomenal elementary school physical education teacher, and you know, she has special requests, and it'd be nice if we could have this for the kids. And there's just everything. I could go on and on about all the different projects that we've done. And again, all of it's made possible by support from our wonderful student body, the parents, the people that live in our community. And it's really not just our community. We've got businesses in Quincy that understand that they don't survive without the surrounding community. So they are excellent, this radio station included, on supporting what we do outside of the city limits of Quincy.
Friendsofunit4.com is a great place to go for more information, projects that have previously been completed, how you can support the Friends of Unit 4. You guys do a good, really good job of making sure that the money that is donated, people can see what is completed, and there are photos of that on the on the website.
Yeah, we try to keep that stuff updated on the website. We try to do some stuff on Facebook. You know, and we encourage people, and, well, not this year, we typically encourage people to go to the school and see our phenomenal education staff and administrators out there are more than happy to take people through the building and show them what their donations have done. Obviously, probably for at least this first semester of this school year, that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, Mr. Ellerman is wonderful. He'll be more than happy to take people through and say, yes, this is what your donations have gone to pay for. Lori Eager is always more than happy to say, yep, I bought that, and that with money from donated funds. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to go up, see what your donations have supported. And even if you just want to drive by, all of that playground equipment outside the middle school and in between the middle school and the football field, that was all purchased previously from the Unity PTO, but the Friends of Unit 4 paid for some upgrades, helped move it. So it's not just donations. There's a lot of projects that we help with, painting projects. And I'm sure this year we're going to be tapped to help with moving some of the teachers in and getting rooms prepared and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. The elementary school is coming right along in Minden. If you are at all interested, you can drive by and see that. But if you're not able to attend a golf outing, or if you're not good at golf, first of all, even if you're not good at golf, you can still participate. You can volunteer your time. You can volunteer financially if you're able to. But this golf outing, again, is Saturday, September 12th, which would have been the date of the fall festival. Next year's is already set. It is September 11th, 2021 at the Adams County Fairgrounds, just to make that note in your phone. But again, $300 per team for the fall 2020 golf outing of the Friends of Unit 4. And it just goes to, like you said, our kids. And we want to thank you as well. I mean, parents, community members, you guys really team up to put the kid first and advocate for our schools, our kids, and our communities. So thank you, thank you.
Yeah, one other thing. We are not doing the raffle this year. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of steam with our raffle going forward.
Yes.
And we thought, you know, with a lot of the businesses struggling that buy sponsor tickets, a lot of the individuals who, you know, are falling on financial hardship right now, we thought it best to delay having the raffle this year. Maybe looking at doing something in the spring, depending on what happens, but more than likely there won't be any sort of raffle, at least a large ticket raffle this year. So it'll just be golf. Like you said, visit our Facebook page and our website for that kind of information. If you just want to send me a personal email, I would be more than happy to get your team registered. My email is paulbealor@hotmail.com, paulbealor@hotmail.com. Feel free to contact me and we'll get you set up.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Paul, for the Friends of Unit 4. Again, you can get more info at friendsofunit4.com or on our Facebook page as well. Just investing in our community, one way in which the Unit 4 district is so lucky in that regards. Paul, are you going to go have a birthday party for your dad today?
He's going to come watch my son play a little baseball tonight, so that's his birthday present.
There you go. Wonderful. You can catch the podcast with Paul, if you missed part of that, up at WTAD.com this afternoon. Again, the Friends of Unit 4 2020 Fall Golf Outing at Arrowhead Heights Golf Course on September 12th, which will raise money for teachers, clubs, and sponsors. Looking forward to that. Paul, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys very much.
All right, thanks a lot, Paul. Paul the Bearer, bad news, too. As soon as he walked in the room, he told me today's Cardinals game was canceled.
Sorry, Steve.
Well, thanks for giving me the heads up. But apparently the Cardinals game this afternoon against the Brewers has been postponed because an unknown number of Cardinal players have tested positive for COVID-19. So we might be without Cardinal baseball for some time. But they had the day off yesterday, but they were scheduled to play the Brewers this afternoon. So no
Boo.
Cardinal baseball this afternoon.
I'm sure it's those filthy Twins that got them all infected.
I like to think so anyway. Thanks a lot. We'll be back with more in just a bit.
Wishing I was deep in the water somewhere.
Zach Brown Band here on WTAD AM 930 and FM 103.3. Steve, I appreciate all this country music.
I played Toes last hour, but I forgot the words, the lyrics to it, and we didn't have the PG-13 version.
Uh-oh! So what is Zach Brown Band celebrating something, or do you
his
just
birthday,
let it?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
42.
Now I know what I'm talking about later. 42. Well, good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Mary Griffith Show. Denise filling in while she is enjoying her last day of vacation. We are so excited to welcome Curtis Sethler with Young Life here with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to post your pretty picture up on the Facebook page here soon so that people can see who we're talking to.
Perfect.
Yeah. But tell us, Young Life is an amazing organization in the tri-states that impacts kids and their experience and how God designed it to be.
Yeah.
COVID has impacted that. Let's start off by first saying, I mean, you were going into the schools.
Yeah.
Not now how you communicating.
Yeah. I'll have probably the minority opinion on this, but this has been really fun for us because I'm just about, like, creativity and how do we get more creative and how do we do new things. So a large part of what we do obviously is in person, but so much of what kids do is online.
Ooh, good point.
Even before COVID, like, we had kids that were spending like their entire nights playing video games and hanging up and chatting and doing things like that. And that was an area where we largely weren't, because we were so much about, like, hey, we'll pick kids up, we'll get dinner with groups of kids, we're in the schools all the time, we're doing activities, we're doing things like that. All that came to a grinding halt, and it was like, now what do we do? So as a 38-year-old, I started getting really into video games. So early on, I'm like, my wife would go to bed, and I'm like up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning playing ball games, Fortnite, whatever it was with kids, because that's where we're going to engage with students. And what we've seen from that is relationships really become stronger with our core groups of kids. Like, we always have this group of students who are kind of the outliers, who are the students that if we don't absolutely go pick them up and bring them into what we're doing, they don't come. So those kids are ones that need, like, the most touches. So as much as we try to engage with them during COVID, it is really difficult. But what we've seen is this core group of students that has really rallied around Young Life, around our leaders. And I really think that no matter how this fall shakes out, this is going to be the best year yet for Young Life in Quincy. I am really, really excited.
I really appreciate your positivity, because if somebody doesn't have it, those kids can feel that.
Absolutely.
Right? And so these conversations that you're having, obviously a lot of people are texting, they're talking, chatting during those video games, and you're creating a relationship through that.
Yeah.
How do you take the next step?
It is through that in-person stuff. So we're glad that, like, right now things are open. Like, I'm having dinner with one of my leaders tonight. I've got a high school friend who I pick up every morning at 5:45, and we go do CrossFit together. Literally 5 days a week, I pick this kid up, and we go, and we talk, and we hang out. We do workouts together. We're always trying to beat each other. I mean, he's 17, so, I mean, he's considerably, like, in better shape and just faster than I am. So it's really fun to do that. But it is through that one-on-one stuff. I had a student last week just text me and be like, hey, I really just need a mentor to sit down and just talk life, to learn life from. He's like, I really respect you a ton. I appreciate what we do at Young Life. He's like, but I really want to take this to a new level. No one told this kid to do that. It's absolutely just from spending time. It's one of the students I played video games with. And then as soon as stuff opened back up, I'm like, let's get lunch. So we went to Mi Jalapeno, and we had lunch out in the tent outside, and it was super hot, and not real comfortable, but the conversation was great. You know, it's entering into those spaces and just doing life with students, life with kids who become our friends. Like, I can't believe what I get to do as a real job. Like, I'm not just saying that. Like, it's,
yeah, you truly believe it.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling that, like, my job, like, what I get to do through Young Life is build relationships with kids, build relationships with people, and in turn, like, that makes our community better. You know, what my heart is, like, we're not just doing a program, like, we're building into this community, and when kids respond better to school, when kids respond better to relationships, Like, that changes the dynamic for the community as a whole. And we want Quincy just to be this dynamic community where people work together for the betterment of each other and for the community. And we get to do that in a small part, investing in kids with Young Life. So,
and you started from a young age.
Yeah. We start with junior high students. So as soon as kids are in sixth grade, they're at the junior high. We are in the schools. We're not sure what that's going to look like this year, whether we're the ones bussing, lunches to classrooms or helping clean up classrooms or whatever that looks like. We are, our staff team and our volunteer team, like, we're in for it. So whatever the school needs to make school maximally impactful for kids, that kids get the most out of their school experience, we're on board for that. So, I mean, from, like, having lunch at schools last year to volunteering in the gas station at QHS, if you know what that is, I'm Mr. Lunch Lady, being there making coffee for kids. One of the things we saw when we were in there was, like, sometimes a gas station would close. You know, if they were, somebody called in sick or something like that would happen. You know, things, you know, happen like that, and it's cool. But sometimes getting that iced coffee at the gas station was something that was, like, pretty important for a kid having a bad day. It's like, well, we'll go in there and volunteer. Like, we'll work and make iced coffee. That's no big deal. So just being able to do things like that in the school and navigate and get creative about how we're going to do that next year.
I think that begs the next question. You get to invest in kids, right? And you want them to contribute to our community and be good people. How do you think the Young Life program does that besides investing in relationships?
Yeah, one of the big things I think is, I mean, Young Life is faith-based, so it is missional in its aspect. I read an article this week that spoke to, like, short-term missions and, like, how short-term missions work, but how they're also essentially ineffective in a lot of capacities. And that's because, like, the goal is, like, immediate life change, and there isn't a lot of follow-up with that. In this article, what it talked about is the end goal for any mission should be leadership development, should be a system that is cyclical. You build leaders who build leaders who build leaders who build leaders. And your initial investment then is multiplied by whatever group of leaders that you make and their ability to then continue the work. So for us at Young Life, it is investing deeply relationally with the groups of students, with our core group of students, and then equipping them to go out and hang out with their friends, to build relationships with kids that they maybe otherwise wouldn't hang out with.
What does a normal night of Young Life look like?
Well, pre-COVID.
Right. I feel like there's two.
There are, and we have a pretty solid plan going into the fall, provided, you know, we're able to do the things that we want to do safely. So normal life night at Young Life looks like kids gathering in, like, our foyer area, and at 7:13 on Mondays we bust the doors open and they come running in to loud music, crazy games, and just this time of fun. Like, kids don't get to have a lot of fun. Our lives are so packed, so busy, just so full already that, you know, when you ask students, like, when's the last time you had fun? They're like, I don't know. You know, I don't even know the last time I really slept, because, you know, activities take so much and school takes so much, and the emotional and relational capital that all of that takes just takes a toll on mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. So we create this space that's just fun. They come in, they play these games, and they have leaders who know every one of their names. If students come in and we don't learn their names by the end of the night, we failed. Because when they come through the door and we're high-fiving every kid and calling them by name when they're coming in, like, that's pretty awesome. Back when we could high-five. I don't know that we get to do that anymore. Maybe air fives. But then we go into music, to singing, to dancing. It's music kids listen to. It's not worship. You know, we're faith-based, but we're not a church. We're investing in these kids where they're at, regardless of where that is. And we have students that are, I mean, we represent the community pretty well as far as diversity. And that's across racial lines. That's across, like, LGBTQ lines. We have students from all over the map, really, every dynamic, really, you know, coming into Young Life, which is awesome, because we wanted to create a space that is safe and a spot where every student can come and just be who they are. You know, I think the gospel's that way. You know, Jesus went to all kinds of people. It didn't matter that they were the right people or the upstanding people or the people you would expect. It was all people. And, you know, we get to create that space. We've got shirts that say everybody deserves to know they belong somewhere, and we absolutely believe that. So that's that space. We play music the kids listen to. We do that stuff. We do fun games. We have adults who are leaders who get on stage and act like idiots, and it's awesome because they make everyone laugh. And every night ends with a talk that is real life and faith. It's vulnerability from our leaders and from our staff or whoever's talking that night about their life. Like, I get deep into my story and just hard stuff that me and my family have been through, hard stuff that I went through in high school. You know, there's a whole story in my life that's shifted a ton since then, and how faith has impacted that. And the hope of that is if students don't want anything to do with the faith part of it, like, that's cool. They're still welcome to come to Young Life. We invest in them at whatever level they're ready. And for students that want to go deeper, students that are, you know, hungering for faith, where they ask the question, like, wait, if that happened in your life, your past is a lot like what I'm going through right now. Maybe this is true for me. And we get to see that development, that really deep investment in each other, where they start questioning, wait, if that's what you went through and you're doing this now, what can I really do? How can my life change? How can my life grow? And their worldview gets just a little bit bigger. You know, I'm 20 years down the road. You know, my worldview has expanded a lot. High school students, you know, it's only what it is right now. They don't have the life experience that a lot of our leaders and a lot of our staff do to be able to invest in them and to be able to show them, you know, like the bigger picture, where we have that and we can kind of show them a glimpse of what the future can be if they're ready to grab onto it.
We're talking with Curtis Fethler, Young Life Executive Director here in Quincy. On the way, we'll take a quick break. We're going to talk about how your students, your grandkids, or even you, your business can be involved, and plus kind of advocate about how kids can really make a difference. That's all coming up right here on WT80. Are you drinking a cold beer tonight, Steve, now that you're not going to get to watch your Cardinals game?
Yeah. The Cardinals are supposed to play this afternoon, so the drinking might start early, too.
We're just going to get fun. See, this is what happens when Mary leaves. We have all this fun.
COVID got the Cardinals, for those that didn't hear. Mm-hmm. Undisclosed number of players of the Cardinals, their game against the Brewers this afternoon, canceled because somebody, at least one, on the Cardinals team tested positive for COVID-19.
Steve, not bitter, though.
No, not at all.
If you are just tuning in, I'm Denise, filling in for Mary, her last day of vacation. She will return on Monday for the Mary Griffith Show. We are speaking with a Young Life Quincy Area Director, Curtis Sethler. We've talked about what your cool job is, how you get to invest in kids' lives and hope and pray and truly make a difference in our community down the road. We'll touch back again on some events that you guys are still able to do safely and how your plans moving forward, of course, have been impacted. But let's start off by this. If students want to get involved, or if listeners' grandkids or kids want to be part of Young Life, how do they begin the process?
Yeah, so we have several different ways you can get in touch with us. We are all over social media. So from our Facebook page, our Instagram page, you direct message those. It goes directly to one of our staff. It goes directly to all of our staff. You can do that. You can also get on our website, which is quincy.younglife.org, and you can get on there. You can message us through that also, or if you want to call the office, our office phone number is 217-223-5470. That goes directly to our office, but also gets forwarded to our administrator's cell phone. So Jill will always be ready to take your call. Other than that, it's just showing up at our events and things that we do. We are, like you said, able to do some things. We've been running kind of all summer in some capacity. We've been meeting strictly outside to where we can distance, we can still have fun, and we're operating safely in that capacity. But we want to, you know, we're understanding like the mental health impacts of COVID too with students and with anxiety, depression, all that stuff already being at epidemic levels. This is doing nothing but just elevating those issues and just exponentially increasing that impact.
Sad to hear, but it's real and it's here. And if you want to help, if you're past the stage where someone you know can get involved child-wise, you yourself can volunteer, whether it's your time or finances. You guys have options for that.
Yeah, we have fully online giving set up. We have text to give stuff too. That really just starts with getting on our page, our website, or our Facebook page. Both of those have links where you can just click a button that says give. That makes it possible to do what we do. We're very fortunate that our donor base is super committed to what we do because they've seen the impact. You know, they see students' lives change. They see the shift in students in our community once they become involved in Young Life and just how their lives really turn around. And that's not because of, you know, anything that I'm going to say like we're doing on a huge level, but it is that just personal investment. You know, it does take time to build relationships, and our donors make it possible for us to be on staff and to be present in kids' lives. Without that investment, you know, we don't get to do what we do. So you can give, like I said, a variety of ways through our Facebook page, through our website. You can call and actually set stuff up too. If you want to meet and talk more about Young Life, I will buy you coffee and we can hang out and do that too. Just shoot a message through our Facebook page.
Wonderful. Curtis Sethler, Area Director of Young Life. And for those who are unfamiliar, Young Life is investing in kids in our community, but there are programs within Young Life.
Yeah, so Young Life's really fun at how we structure things. I will argue that we're not great at naming things because the organization, like if you have like the umbrella, the organization is called Young Life. Our high school program for 9th through 12th graders is also called Young Life. That's because that's where everything started. In 1941, when Young Life started in Texas, that was all there was our high school program. Since then, we've expanded into, I think, close to 20 different branches of different things that we do. In Quincy, we have three different branches of what we do. We have wildlife, which is for our junior high students, so 6th through 8th grade. If you have a junior high student, you understand why it's called wildlife, because junior high kids are insane, loud, and they smell bad. Sorry if you're in junior high and you're probably not up yet, but that's really where junior high kids fall. We also have a program called Young Lives, which is for teen moms aged 13 to 19. They turn 19 during the school year. They age out at 20. And we're working on what we can do to keep our moms, our adolescent moms, really engaged. I mean, all the science is saying now that adolescence extends to age 25 and even in some cases closer to age 30, just how brain development has switched. We really do try to stay up on all of those, all that data there, so we know really how to run the program effectively to engage kids at the highest level. But our Young Lives program is run by Denise Heverlein, and she is just awesome. So we've really got a great set of programs that we do here in Quincy with those three phenomenal staff and volunteers at all of those levels. So we're really, you know, excited to be able to have just such a dynamic program that is impacting. One of our big goals, we did a strategic plan last year. One of our huge goals coming out of that, our number one strategic priority is building a program for college students. Mm. There's just not a lot for college students in our community, and we really want to step into that to make sure that, you know, adolescence does continue, you know, past age 22. So what can we do to engage in that population too? You know, we're seeing just demographics or different statistics of like anxiety and depression and suicide rates and all of that stuff continuing on and trending upward in the college population. So we want to make sure that we're engaging there too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will have to say that you have great programs within here in Quincy. Are you reaching further?
Yeah, that's really the goal. So what we do in Young Life is we go where kids are. Like we don't really ask kids to come to us. I mean, we do have a building that we rent, and we have just a wonderful facility there at 521 State, but we go like out to pick up kids. We do all of that stuff too. So really it isn't cool like for our mission overall if we're asking kids from like Minden or Liberty or Payson to come to Quincy, because that's not the nature of the mission at large. It's we go where kids are. So I would love, you know, to see Young Life established in Minden, Young Life established in Payson and Liberty, you know, even down into Pike County where I'm from. You know, like I would love to see Young Life Pittsfield kicked off at some point. That is all stuff that is on kind of the meta plan for how we're building Young Life. I mean, I would love it if, you know, our building became the hub for Young Life Adams County or Young Life West Central Illinois. Like, I think that would be, you know, the 10-year, the 15, the 20-year plan. And we are laying the groundwork for that stuff right now. We're being very strategic in how we build infrastructure and how we build impact. It's one of the large reasons we've been pretty financially stable through all of this. Our donors are insanely committed, but we're also really fiscally responsible and not living, you know, beyond what we know is sustainable.
More information available at quincy.younglife.org. Before we wrap up, we just want to say you guys are keeping kids safe.
Yeah. So any activity that we do, we are taking just the strongest guidelines from the health department, from the CDC, from Young Life's medical team that they have. They've assembled through COVID to really give us guidance. So we did a camp trip this summer where we actually traveled with our cabins where we were we called it cabin-centric camping. So our two cabins, our guys and our girls, each traveled independently. They wore masks the whole time. They were to camp and back. Exposure was super limited. We figured that they were more in danger to go to Walmart and catching COVID than they actually were at Young Life camp. And that was because of the steps that Young Life took overall that we also took as an area. And we're continuing to do that with our programming that we're planning for the fall. We're going to be in touch with the health department on how we relaunch so we can keep kids safe, but also provide that outlet for kids to be in community with each other, because we understand how much that does affect mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health overall.
Curtis Sethler with the Quincy Young Life Program Area Director. Thank you so much for investing in our community and for taking time today.
Man, just honored to be able to do it and able to be here.
WTAD.com later for our podcast. Steve will get that up and ready to go.
Have it for you about 11 o'clock.
Oh, look at you, fancy.
They got a great website, by the way, quincy.younglife.org on the web. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wonderful website there, quincy.younglife.org, with a lot more information. Curtis, nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.